The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
I think we feel better on paper just because we've got some perspective on what we had and what we have now. And our players have said it and we've said it. We see what we've got, and I think Phil just said it. The talent is better. The talent level of our players are better. So we've got to turn paper into performance and excellence, and that's what we're going to be working at doing each and every day to try to do everything we can to get each and every player to get better. The ones that have been our high-level players, to continue to improve the quality of their play, and that they want to do it. Every good player wants to get better and find different ways to get better, and then get our younger players to play at a consistent professional level. And we feel we've got off to a good start. We've got a long way to go.
Mark Trestman's Bears essentially have a month to rebuild the football team in time for the regular season. Good evening, hello, and welcome live from Bourbonnais, the first training camp edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman pleased to be joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. A lot to discuss. First off, Tom, you just heard Trestman kind of break it down in general. Your thoughts on what he had to say.
If you take three words, he's got time to turn paper into performance, because that's what it's all about. Ultimately, after this is all said and done, how do you take that defensive talent? How does Joe DeCamillis take the talent he has for special teams? And what does Mark Trestman do with the offense? How do they perform on a weekly, on a daily, every day? These guys are being evaluated to see how ultimately they can eventually win the Super Bowl. So that's what it is. It's about all these paper that you've been reading about these guys for all this time. Now it's about how they perform.
Jim, the buzzword from Phil Emery today was competition across the board at a variety of different positions. How does that make the football team better?
Well, I think every time you have guys competing at spots, I mean, the pressure mounts, the cream rises to the top, and you're going to see the best of guys in pressure situations, and if they can go out and perform. And Tom's right. I mean, it's got to transition from paper to the field. Some of that is still penciled in. It's still the show me stage, and guys have 30 days to prove themselves. This is I view the offseason as a 10-step program. I shouldn't even say the offseason, because you got the biggest days of the year are the wild card round, the division round, the championship round, obviously the Super Bowl. Then you've got the combine, the draft, the OTAs. Now is training camp. Then the first preseason game is the next step, next test, and then the opener. Can it all come together by the opener? And that's going to be huge. But this is obviously a great day for training camp to be here, because we're one step closer to the season of football.
Tomorrow the Bears have a conditioning test down here in Bourbonnais. The first practice will take place on Friday. The first practice in pads will get underway Sunday here at Olivet Nazarene University. As far as the news of the day, Phil Emery was asked about the different injuries that the Bears are facing, and this is what he had to say.
Chris Conte will start out on active pup. Obviously Chris had shoulder surgery last year. He's not all the way back. We anticipate that he'll be back during the course of the preseason. Kyle Long, I want to make that announcement, has suffered a viral infection. He will not be available at the start of camp. He got hit over the weekend. He's lost a little strength because of it. Obviously, he's fighting through it. He won't be available through this weekend. He will be reevaluated next week to his status. We are encouraged. He is getting better, but I wanted you to know he will not be available to start at camp. Matt Slauson is fully cleared, medically ready to go. He'll start the first day. Jordan Mills the same. I know he took some time off at the end of the camp, and I just want to mention that he's fully medically ready to go and recovered from his broken foot. Craig Steltz should be ready. I just say that's a tentative, because we haven't seen him yet today for him to get full medical clearance, but he did have groin surgery over the winter, and he's progressed very well, and we're very hopeful that he'll be ready to go on Friday.
Tom, what stands out about what you heard from Emery?
you know, I'm still most interested to hear about Adrian Wilson, because here's a guy that really fits into the picture, and we're talking about performance and the competition at every position. And, yeah, Chris Conte starting on the pup list. It always gives you a little bit more time to rehab, but then guys are already in the flow, and you come back to get ready and get back in the mix. Craig Stelz, guy's a fighter. You know what is going to happen. The other guys are just going through the regular off-season routine of surgery, getting ready for training camp day one. And I don't think Kyle Long is a major setback. It's something that guys have gone through at different portions of their career. So, I hate to say it, and I hate bringing it up, because the safety position is such an area of need to get better, I'm still really concerned, and I want to see Adrian Wilson run for maybe one day, then 5 days, then 3 weeks.
Well, let me piggyback off that, Zach, because you bring up good points. Here we talk about positions being penciled in. I think safety right now is penciled in, and I will touch on Haglund's deformity in your feet, because I had him in both feet, and I had to get 6 surgeries to get the bone removed because it was cutting into my Achilles tendons.
Yeah, Jim, can you explain that? Because a lot of people, the Patriots said that he was out with an Achilles injury, and he took to Twitter over the last few days to point out that he had Haglund's deformity, which is, I guess, right underneath the Achilles before
right.
the foot, right?
Yeah, and, well, imagine that. They weren't forthright on the injuries. I mean, but anyway, what Haglund's deformity is, like, it's just like you said, where the Achilles goes in and attaches to your heel, right at the top of your heel. It's where you get a growth of bone, and it starts to cut into your Achilles tendons. And I would have to go in every 2 years and get them shaved, get those bones shaved off. Otherwise, eventually, your Achilles will tear. Well, guess what, boys? I tore both of mine. I tore both of my Achilles. A lot of it was due, in my opinion, to the Haglund's deformity. So as much as I love Adrian Wilson, I think there's a little buyer beware there. With that injury, I personally have gone through it. It is not fun. It's always pain. It's just a nagging type of thing, because when that stuff's grinding on your Achilles, that pain, it just feels like a knife stabbing you in the back of your Achilles all the time. And hopefully you got it corrected. Maybe you got, once you get the bone shaved, it's all good. But then, of course, the bones grow back. It's just that's the problem with Haglund's deformity.
You know, that's why I said I want to see him run day one, day three, you know, after 3 weeks, to see after a period of time, does it come back to be an aggravating occurrence, or what a close to the line of scrimmage player he could be for this defense. He's a great tackler, and he does understand a thing or two about the passing game in the NFL.
We're going to have a lot of changes on Bears All Access coming up in a little bit, because you guys did a fantastic job, both Tom and Jim, throughout the offseason helping carry the show. But you guys are busy during the season. For example, you can catch Tom on Bears Game Day Live and Bears Game Night Live on Fox 32 Sundays during the season, as well as every Bears game on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. You can catch Jim on the Chicago Bears Network preseason broadcast, along with Sam Rosen and Luke Kanellis on Fox 32 throughout the preseason. And also, Patrick Manley rejoins us for the regular season beginning next week. He will be right here on Bears All Access with his unique take on the world of football.
Jim, you got to give your boy Luke Kanellis a hard time. Saw him playing shirtless at the Jay Cutler charity volleyball tournament on Friday.
I'll do it proper justice. I'll take care
Thank
of it,
you.
Tom.
Coming up next, we'll break down the Bears offense. We'll hear what Mark Trestman had to say about his specialty next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We recognize as a football team the excitement around our team, the community's excitement around our football team, and what I in tune is the noise that goes on around us. And for us here at Bourbonnais, we've got to stay focused on the process. We got to keep our feet on the ground.
Mark Trestman trying to make sure that his team doesn't get carried away by all the nice things that have been said about the Bears throughout the offseason. It's clearly an improved team from a talent standpoint. Bears All Access rolls on here from training camp in Bourbonnais. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you. See the Chicago Bears practice at Soldier Field. Tickets are on sale now for the 2014 Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest, presented by Chase on Saturday, August 2nd. Visit ChicagoBears.com for more info and to purchase tickets. And Tom, you went through this just about every single year that you were a Bear in the heyday, that 85 bunch. After that Super Bowl championship, every year you guys were expected to do big things. Was it tough to tune out the noise?
No, it was kind of motivating in a sense, because if you know that you're a team and you have absolutely no chance of succeeding this year in the NFL, regardless, unless every team didn't show up, but you know you're the Bears. The expectations are so high by the fan base because that's what they've had an example of seeing last year from the offense and what the capabilities are. But now you want high expectations, because the high expectations on the practice field give you better results. The competition means more. The fans come out and give you great support. And I think that can't go understated, because when the fans showed up at Platteville when we were a good team, it was really motivating to go out there and practice harder, because you saw an appreciation from the fans that make the commitment. It's just like here. You have a great fan base. They get you motivated. You go through the tunnel with thousands of fans, just 7 to 10 deep, and it's all a part of the inspiration. But now that inspiration's got to carry to quality practices, the competition's got to be decided, and then, like Coach Trestman says, it's all got to develop into a team. But again, it's all about starting from day one, competing for your position, small step, earn that, and then getting the team involvement.
Jim, someone actually asked Jay Cutler today if the team is overconfident heading into this season, and Cutler had that familiar Cutler smirk, because he thought to himself, and he said it out loud, it's not as though the Bears are coming off this great season from a year ago. They were a 500 team, and he said, if they were coming off monster season after monster season, that's one thing, but when you haven't accomplished anything special, it's hard to go into a season overconfident.
Well, you have to be realistic in how things gel together, and we'll find that out as training camp. This is really where the finishing touches really come together, and then, hey, the painting's done, and you get ready to present it on opening day. But I think there should be high expectation. I think your goal should always be to win the division. That way you're going to get into the playoffs, and that's all you can ask for. If you get into the playoffs, you've got as good a shot as any. We've seen a lot of teams go in with say not so stellar records, and they've gone. The Giants would be the recent example that I can think of, that got on a run and got hot, and you hope that things come together that way. I do think in a season like this, some things have to bounce your way to make it a special season. In terms of fumbles, turnovers, those type of things, and calls and things of that nature. But I think the Bears are more than capable of doing it, because more is expected. Offense, more is going to be expected. And certainly a 31st-ranked defense, more is going to be expected of that. So is that worth 2 wins more, 3 wins more? I think the team's capable of doing that.
One of the key elements, too, of driving a training camp, and every player is nervous. They listen to the shows because they know what's going to take place. But there's a lot of important battles within this football team that can really do a lot to decide not only the future but the overall structure of the team. Last year, Roberto Garza had a big job ahead of him. He had to make sure that whole offensive line fit together. He had to fit together with Jay Cutler to help Jay fit together with his backs and his receivers. Now Roberto's in a competitive position going into this training camp. So there is no luxuries here. None of these guys are coming here with going, I have this job. This is my job, and there's no way that anybody's going to take it from. We have big expectations about Marquise Wilson. Marquise Wilson hasn't earned the position yet. He's got an opportunity to earn it, but there's a lot of guys out there that are really hungry to earn his position. And then you look the entire defensive tackle position. Who can explain it to me right now? Right. There is a good group of guys out there that can be very competitive, but if they don't compete to a top level, it's going to slow that position down. And there's more position like the Bostic, Shea McClellan and stuff, but I'm telling you, even though you're a senior leader on this football team, there's still competition that's going to ultimately make this team a better team at the end of training camp.
You mentioned Garza. He was the first person
working out in the weight room, throwing high weights around. Yeah.
Yeah, at 8:30 in the morning, Garza arrived here in Bourbonnais, and that means he had to sit through some traffic in Chicago to get here.
That's why he's a pro. And again, Roberto, he's a guy that you can go out there and you can compete him year in and year out, and he's always been a high competitor in the NFL level from position, team changes, and everything. But I'm just trying to make the point. When you see last year Jamarcus Webb get removed from his starting position after 3 days of camp, and they put in Jordan Mills with no experience, no NFL experience, you know, it's just, it's a big challenge.
And that's why Emery kept talking about competition. One of the more intriguing battles on the offensive side of the ball, Jim, is a position that you know a lot about, and that's the number two quarterback position behind Jay Cutler. Jordan Palmer, according to the Bears today, gets first dibs at that position, but nothing's guaranteed, and Jimmy Clausen probably has more NFL experience than Palmer, more right. big game experience if you go throughout his college career. Size that up for us.
Well, I think just piggybacking off what Tom said, one, nothing is guaranteed. You have to earn it. You've got to prove it every day. You've got to prove it every snap, every rep that you're out there, because Mark Trestman is going to try and make it as a game-like, as an atmosphere as he wants, and he's going to put a lot of pressure on these guys, because if they're going to crumble in front of 10, 12, 20,000 fans out there at Bourbonnais, what the hell are they going to do when 80,000 are watching in Soldier Field or 5 million people watching at home? So put a lot of pressure on them. You got to evaluate them, see the command, see the poise, see the knowledge within the system. Do they feel comfortable? Are they leading the team? And all those things are going to be evaluated every single rep and snap that they get. So I would suggest for both those guys, and Jordan Palmer does get first crack, I would suggest practicing with a purpose, and that's practice perfect every single day, and don't succumb to the pressure.
One thing that does excite me about the backup quarterback position is before Josh McCown got here, no one thought anything of him. Before he had an opportunity to play for Mark Trestman, he really didn't have any great numbers in the NFL. So it's, you do have high expectations for the backup quarterback position, but I think it's a lot because the quarterback coaches here, including Matt Kavanaugh, they can cultivate talent. If you're invested in your playbook and you have the talent to be a quarterback, they can redevelop you. They can remeasure you, because Josh was a really average quarterback before he had an opportunity to play in this system, and then he showed signs of brilliance. And I think if you take and you can grow a mind of Jordan or Clausen, you know, these guys, that you can potentially grow another quality solid too, just like they did it with Josh.
We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, Jay Cutler was asked earlier today what his goals are individually for the upcoming season. We'll hear his answer next on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you from Bourbonnais on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, I think statistics kind of take care of themselves. I mean, I think we do more little things of kind of my mechanics and play to play, not wasting plays, getting to the best play possible. You know, we set goals in that manner. At the end of the day, if we win the game, you know, we can always clean up the mess afterwards. So that's kind of where we stand.
That was Jay Cutler earlier today when asked about what his goals are if he sets things for himself individually heading into every season. And you knew Jay wasn't going to share a lot, but he did say a lot in that soundbite. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you here from Bourbonnais, Bears All Access Training Camp Edition, rolling on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Register today, priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. And Jim, I wanted to start with you here, because you heard Jay talk a little bit about the mechanics, the little things that he's been working on with Matt Kavanaugh. What are those things, based on what you saw a year ago and knowing what Mark Trestman and Matt Kavanaugh expect out of the quarterback position?
Well, I brought up about practicing perfect. You know, it goes up in practicing with a purpose. So even if you're in an individual drill and you're working on your seven-step drop or your bootleg fakes or your play-action pass fakes, be perfect at it. Do it right every single time where it becomes rote memory. Little things like that can go a long way in a game, from distracting linebackers, sucking linebackers up, and it's really up to you as a quarterback. You got to be the salesman on those type of plays. So that's what Jay means by the little things, and do the little things right. Mechanics, footwork, because we know timing and rhythm so important in the passing game. That's what he was talking about, mechanics, not wasting plays. I'm here to tell you as a quarterback, and Tom will tell you too, that say you're in first and 10 and you waste a play on first down, and now that you're in second and 10, it's a hell of a lot different being in second and 6 than it is second and 10. So you'd better not waste plays at the line of scrimmage, because there's a big difference in terms of the approach of situations and play calling and what you can do in second and 6 rather than second and 10. So don't waste plays.
You know, Jim, nowadays when the quarterback is put under like a microscope like they are, you know, 7 days a week by so many different ways, when you have a quarterback – and you talk about the little things, the fundamentals, the techniques, the footwork and all that. Does all that come into question if you don't have 100% knowledge of the system? Because now if you're thinking about the terminology and what's supposed to happen in the play, can that slow down the perfection of your techniques and your mechanics?
Yeah, I think if you work on those things hard in practice, and I believe you can get you can clear up any footwork in an off-season, mechanics and throwing, it's one thing talking below the waist than it is upper body. I think you throw how you throw, and Jay's mechanics are fine from the waist up, and I would say that for all the quarterbacks of the Chicago Bears. But footwork is important because to be an accurate passer, you must be on balance, and then, like you said, to play fast, you must have knowledge within the offense where you can set up quickly and allow yourself to make the quick decisions that are necessary within the offense. So they're all beneficial, and I think Jay should be flying right now in terms of his knowledge of this offense, where he's at, and all those things that I mentioned, the little things that they've worked on this offseason, those now should become rote memory as the season approaches.
You and I sat on the sidelines last year, and we watched training camp, and you just watched the process of putting in a new offense in there. I think one time Mark Trestman said, hey, you're not saying a symposium back there. Get to the play. Now, what do you expect to see the first time you see Jay Cutler this year? What do you expect to see out of him specifically? Do you think you're going to see a faster reacting Jay, or is it going to be more of trying to explain it to the other 10 people?
Yeah, I think a more poised, in command quarterback, because like as you mentioned, Mark Trestman was putting pressure on him out the gate. You know, Tommy, hey, it's not a symposium. Spit out the play. Get it going. You're the CEO of the offense. Let's go. And so Jay's all should be all good with that. The verbiage and all those things, he should be able to spit it out. It should be a blueprint that just lights up in his mind right now, and he knows what's going on. So he can play fast. Now he can start to play with the offense, work in and out of plays. Like when a formation and a personnel grouping is called, all right, what are my checks? What are my audibles in this play with this personnel grouping? What plays will we check to? What passes? What runs? All that stuff is on the table for Jay, where he should be moving in and out of those things pretty fluently, and those should be coming and just lighting up in his brain right away with the defense he's presented.
Do you want to if you want to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority, you can. In our next segment, we're going to play Ask Tom. So light him up. 312-644-6767
Last time of the year?
It's the last.
Oh,
yeah, the
man.
This is a big one for you, Tom.
Because
basically what we do is in our next segment, we go rapid fire football questions from you for Tom Thayer. And we've got Judge Jim Miller with the legal pad taking notes on each caller. And the best caller in the segment for Tom gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller.
The judge has a special request. Can we get one for Lou Kanellis to get him a shirt at Sports Authority? Can we make that happen, Tom?
Right. We'll get him a nice kind of a medium dry fit.
Yeah. Went to all grade school.
A little bit of small and some of medium.
All grade school on us. Shirts and skins. Skins to win. All right, Kanellis, we got you.
Before we hit the break, though, Mark Trestman did say something interesting, guys, earlier today. He talked a little bit about how the entire league has had a full offseason to study what Trestman did with the Bears offense a year ago, and they're going to make adjustments to how the Bears operated from an offensive standpoint. And the goal now for the Bears in this chess match is to adjust to the league's adjustment. What does that mean, Jim, this upcoming season?
Well, I think you go into the season, and I think Tom will back me up on this. What do we do well? What do we hang our hat on? And I would like to think the Bears can hang their hat on a lot more in year two. You know, here we've got an athletic right guard in Kyle Long, that we know is extremely athletic. Does that mean more pulling plays for him, more toss crack plays? I don't know. Maybe it means more counter weak plays where you pull the front side guard and use that athleticism. He should be further along, so you can maybe hang your hat on more things offensively for the Chicago Bears. Should be further along in the pass game. And if they can have a third wide receiver emerge, that opens up even more, because I brought up how the 11 personnel grouping, one tight end, one running back, three wide receivers, it is the most used personnel grouping in the National Football League. Over 17,000 plays were called out of that personnel grouping. Why? Because you're taking a linebacker, a strong side linebacker who cannot cover, off the field, and they bring in now another defensive. Now you've created some matchups with your tight end on linebackers and safeties. That's why it's utilized so much.
And, you know, too, as they're going to study, too, what are the deficiencies of the Bears? What was it last year? Do they have an attackable area on the offensive line against certain blitzes and certain rushers? Do they have the opportunity to take advantage of a tight end or a blocker that's out of position against a better matchup? So they're going to have to start studying to what they believe the deficiencies of the Bears would be, offensively speaking, with their packages and how they can attack that.
All right, guys, Ask Tom is coming up. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Line them up. Rapid-fire Bears calls from you. For Tom Thayer next, the best caller of the segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Zaidman, Thayer, Miller with you on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week on Inside the Bears, Martellus Bennett shows off his artistic side. Get a glimpse of some rare historical items stored at Hallis Hall. And Patrick Manley joins Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci in studio. Inside the Bears, Saturday at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. From Bourbon A training camp edition of Bears All Access. We're here throughout the camp leading up to the regular season, and it is time to play Ask Tom. It's real simple. We go rapid fire. Your phone calls, anything in the world of football is fair game. You can ask Tom about anything in regards to the NFL and the Bears. Jim Miller is sitting, taking notes on your calls and questions, and at the end of the segment, the best caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Ready to go, guys?
Ready.
All right, let's begin the festivities. William in Plano, Texas, listening on ChicagoBears.com. Ask Tom.
Hey, William.
Hey there, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay. Well, Tom, here is an offensive question. My question is this. The Bears put up a four wideout, and then on the offensive line, fake and pass the ball to a offensive lineman, and for the short game, how about those pickles? I think I like that one.
Hey, you know what? With Eben Britton, who's one of the offensive linemen that plays the swing position, tight end, H-back style, it don't take it out of the realm of possibility, because Coach Tressman is clever enough to be able to take advantage of someone who completely forgets about a player that's capable of catching a pass. So, William, it's happened before, and it's got to be a play that you kind of disguise and you wait for the exact only one opportunity to use it.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Ask Tom. We continue. Linwood, Brett, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, Tom. Happy training camp to you.
You too.
I have a question about offensive linemen. You hear about, with Tressman's new system, the problems of, or the difficulty of backs and receivers and quarterbacks adjusting to the new system. I'm wondering about offensive linemen. Is it just a question of the language, the lingo, or are there different assignments with his system? How does that work as an offensive lineman?
It's a little bit of everything. You know, you do have one play call that is the play that is going to be used most of the time. But then there's another play that's a built-in audible in case the defense goes to a different type of defensive front or defensive backfield, they change the play. Now, if you're balanced into a pass-blocking stance that you're a little bit on your heels because you know you're going to stand up and block the guy in front of you, and now in the audible they change to a running play that you have to have all your momentum going forward because you have a hard drive block, it does change the balances and the minor subtleties. But that's why you have to be consistent. You have to have the same stance for every play. Everybody's got to be under the same balance, so it doesn't need to change if the play goes from a pass to a run in an instant.
That was some hardcore football from Tom Thayer. Morgan in Winnetka. Ask Tom.
Hey, Morgan.
Hey, Tom. I have a contract question. This past offseason, two great players, Alex Mack and Jimmy Graham, both had contract issues, especially with their franchise tag. Why is it that a tight end and a wide receiver both have different designations when it comes to a franchise tag, but all offensive linemen, I've read, are all lumped under offensive linemen when it comes to that?
Morgan, because we're treated unfair. And I'm no, it is because basically offensive linemen are offensive linemen, but they do have different levels that you're involved when you're an offensive tackle, guard, center, and all that. But the Jimmy Graham thing was because he had a certain percentage of plays out of the wide receiver position and not always next to the offensive tackle and a blocking tight end. And then they determined that if he was within 4 yards in the line of scrimmage, that he was going to be still designated a tight end for that play. So it was all about money, because I think the average salary of a tight end, I know Jim will know better, the wide receivers are like $10 million and the tight ends maybe $6.5 or $7 million, something around that. But it is. It's all about money and percentage of where you're playing.
All right. We continue here. Vernon Hills, Matt, ask Tom.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I know a lot of people have been pining recently for Kyle Long to make that switch to tackle, but Aaron Cromer's repeatedly stated how important he thinks it is to block from inside out. So I was just curious, do you think he should stay there? And what makes that scheme so much different from others in the league?
You know, I think Kyle has a lot of versatility on the inside, and he's got a lot of size and strength. And I think as long as you have Ndamukong Suh and Fairley, the two defensive tackles for Detroit in this division, you better have some size and strength on the inside, else you're not going to have any value to the interior pass protection and running game. So it's just a matter of, you know, who's got the athleticism to play at the position that Aaron Cromer determines their best fit for. And that's just the way that Kyle has been able to capitalize on some inexperience, but get any experience playing next to Roberto Garza, who has a ton, and Jordan, who they're able to develop with together.
Two more contestants here on Ask Tom before Jim Miller has to pick a winner. Jay in Inglewood, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how's it going, Matt? My question is, I know everybody's wanting to talk about the offense and, you know, the continued progress that they're having and trying to get the defense back to its old form. But I don't hear a lot of talk about the special teams. So I want to know, what do you think that the Trestman and the other coaches are confident in that's going to kind of translate over onto the field on us having a better special teams? Because I really think it was a big part of our, you know, our success in the past.
Oh, you couldn't be more right, Jay, and especially with Devin Hester leaving, Patrick Manley leaving, the punter.
Adam Podlish
leaving. You know, all those three specialties, it's going to be important to find those guys, because all three of those guys, their jobs, they have to be perfect. You can't be an 85%er. You can't fumble a certain percentage of your punt returns, or you can't have bad snaps, extra point field goals, the whole deal. So that's one of the determining factors, is finding three people who are perfect at that position. And luckily they brought Phil Emery in, who brought in a lot of contestants who they're going to have a quality evaluation of. I think right now Eric Weems would be the best punt catcher on this football team, but the competition's wide open. I think like any position out here, the job of the return, the guys that touch the football and special teams are key. But Joe DeCamillis' job, the special teams coordinator, never ends, because they do have a turnover over of certain players that come and go from a week to a couple weeks.
One last chance for someone to win that gift certificate to Sports Authority. We go to Sean in La Crosse, Indiana. Ask Tom.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going today? My question is a simple opinion question. Who's going to have a bigger year, Alshon Jeffrey or Brandon Marshall?
That's a great question. You know, you like to say it could go 50-50, but what I see out of Brandon Marshall, his professionalism, his desire to get the ball, his desire to make tough catches, and to get a lot of attention focused on him so the opportunities open up for the other guys, I still think that Brandon Marshall is the leader, the kingpin, the guy who the Bears are going to go to first in order to get this offense rolling.
All right, time to pick a winner. Jim, some good questions today.
Yeah, this is a real good night tonight, but I'm going to go with Brett from Linwood, talking about the new system and the assignments, and Tom broke it down with the subtleties. And I also, hey, you got to give Tom a lot of credit with his prosecutorial legal brief on Lou Kanellis. So Lou is in contempt of court right now, so he's fine.
Those are going to be some interesting preseason broadcasts with you, Lou, and Sam Rosen.
So, congratulations to Brett from Linwood. Really good question for Tom.
When we come back, I want to hit on what Tom was talking about in regards to special teams, because the Bears had the luxury with Devin Hester and his special ability of just having him as purely a return specialist last year. This year, though,
the person that returns the ball may be a different person when it comes to punts, different person when it comes to kicks, and better be a part of the other phases of the team. We'll discuss the competition next on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago Bears Kids Club brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Alongside Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access from Bourbonnais. Bears reporting to training camp today. Roberto Garza was the first to arrive. Tomorrow they've got that conditioning test. Hey, the big news when it comes to condition, you laugh, Tom, but Marcel Darius, right?
Right, from Buffalo.
Yeah, and the Bears faced them in week one at Soldier Field. He failed his conditioning test.
We've all been on teams that guys have failed conditioning tests, and it's not pretty because after when you do fail it, you still have to complete it. So there's days that you may have to go out there and go through a full practice and then complete the conditioning test after, or some coaches don't let you participate until you do.
What kind of a message, Jim, does it send to the rest of the team when one of your teammates shows up after having a month off to prepare for this and flat-out flunks?
Well, he's had a whole rough offseason. He's had a couple off-the-field problems and pretty much excused from the team by the head coach, Doug Marrone, now shows up out of shape. And guys are like, hey, well, what's going on here? Can we count on this guy? And certainly they'll be there to lend a helping hand. But they'll say, where's his focus? Where's his dedication? Is he in it to win it with the rest of us? So those things, he'll have to deal with that with his teammates. And the best way to do it, get in shape, go out, play your fanny off, and come out like gangbusters when you are ready to practice. So he's got to earn it with his teammates again.
It's difficult to improve and be out of shape because if you're out of shape and your feet are slower and you're not moving as fast or you can't be as aggressive against your opponent, offense and defense, then the likelihood increases of you getting injured because your feet are on the ground a longer period of time and that's when bodies fall on it. So there's nothing good about coming in out of shape. And then the realization of how many plays are you really going to be good for the opening week of the season against the Chicago Bears? Are you going to be a one and two plays and out? Are you going to be able to sustain for six or eight plays? And that's all a factor because he is one of the guys they counted on to be the leader of that whole position.
And I'll just say one more thing because you asked about it earlier, Zach, and you know, and it kind of coincides with, you know, whether it's Jimmy Clausen or Jordan Palmer. Your teammates aren't dumb. They're evaluating you too. They know where the areas of troubles are on the team. They want to see how you react, see how you respond, see if they can count on you, see if they can trust you. And even though Marcel Darius, and he's got great skill and can be a great player, he's still got a lot to prove, but he's going to have to earn it much like the rest of the guys, like Jimmy Clausen and Jordan Palmer. You got guys are watching, and how you respond, how you react to the command, the poise, all the things that we talked about, your teammates are evaluating you also.
Guys, for nearly a decade, the Bears never had to worry about their return game because Devin Hester did things that we've never seen people do in this game before. Now it's a concern. The Bears don't have a bona fide answer at the return position, either punts or kicks, at least to start camp. Tom, who's in the competition and what do they have to? Because Hester was just a specialist last year. This year, whoever it is going to have to do more.
Right, but the first thing they have to do, and every special teams will tell every returner this, no matter who they are, if they run a 4-1 or a 5-0, catch the ball. In serious, when I said Eric Weems is considered the best catcher right now, I asked special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis during OTAs, who is that one guy? Because that's the line in practice Friday morning has to start with one guy. And if Eric Weems is that first guy, every guy behind him, his intention is to beat him out. So you just have to have a start. And that's the thing about the Bears where we become spoiled is because they've had Devin Hester here for so long, Patrick Manley here for so long, quality punting here for so long. I think the element of touch by the long snapper is equally as important as the touch by the catcher.
Wow, that's a big statement. Meantime, the other guys in the competition for the return game, you got Spurlock, who they brought in this offseason, Chris Williams, a former CFL star. Jim, it's vital. And plus, you know, you do have a rookie punter that they drafted. Now, there's no guarantee that he makes the team, but boy, if you draft a guy, generally that guy's going to make the team as if you're a specialist as a punter.
No, he would have to absolutely just crumble, in my opinion, to not make the team. But injuries, those things happen. So, I mean, we got to be aware of that. But, you know, Tom brings up the good points. Eric Weems is the most credentialed. He has been to a Pro Bowl. But if I'm those other guys like Chris Williams or Spurlock or Michael Ford, I'm saying, hey, I'm going in there and I'm going to make these coaches' draws drop. They are not going to ignore me. I'm going to be in the mix for this competition, and they know it's an uphill battle because they're battling against a Pro Bowler like Eric Weems. So make a statement. Send a message. And if that's how you got to make the club, so be it. Make it your best opportunity and take advantage of it.
Hey, Jim, speaking of making a statement, Mark Trestman said something interesting today in his training camp opening press conference that he wants to see his team play with more of an edge and be more physical this upcoming season, and it starts by what they do in training camp. When we come back after this short break, I'm going to find out what Mark Trestman can do on the practice field to get a tougher team come regular season time. With Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What makes the world's leading airline flyer friendly? Flying to the most places, for one. Upgrading aircraft, cabins, clubs, and service. Creating a mobile app that does it all, from booking to boarding. Providing more room and economy plus, and flatbed seats, too. More than 80,000 professionals focused on every detail. That's flyer friendly. United, fly the friendly skies.
The Bears know you have to stick to standards to achieve perfection. Standards like hard work, excellence, and humility. That's something we Midwesterners know plenty about. Inspired by the monsters of the Midway, Hudsonville Ice Cream has created one monster of an ice cream, Bear Tracks. Holding true to Midwestern standards since the 1920s is what Hudsonville Ice Cream has always been about. We've been crafting ice cream inspired by the beautiful Great Lakes region. Enjoy a scoop of Bear Tracks today and join the Hudsonville family.
When we talk about the Chicago-style stuffed pizza, only one name stands out as the best, Giordano's Pizza. Everyone agrees that for 40 years, the name Giordano's is synonymous with the best pizza anywhere. Generations of families have made Giordano's the number one stuffed pizza that Chicagoans crave. And there is more than the best pizza at Giordano's. Fresh salads, soups, homemade pasta dishes, sandwiches, and more. With 40 locations in Chicagoland, there is a Giordano's near you. For your party needs, dine-in, carry-out, or delivery, visit Giordano's.com.
Tickets are on sale now for Bears Meyer Family Fest, presented by Chase. Watch the Bears practice on Saturday, August 2nd at Soldier Field. Enjoy kid-friendly activities, live music, and a fireworks show. Tickets start at just $8. Visit ChicagoBears.com for more info and to purchase tickets. Bears Meyer Family Fest is also brought to you by American Academy of Dermatologists, Bright Start College Savings, Dr. Pepper, and Miller Lite.
Hey, Bears fans. Come to Sports Authority and find everything you need to show your passion for your hometown favorites, including official NFL jerseys, hats, jackets, tees, and much more. And speaking of winning teams, join Sports Authority's loyalty program, The League, and you'll get 5% back on all your qualifying purchases. Sign up in-store or online at sportsauthority.com/the league to start getting rewarded. Sports Authority is a proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Still coming off the high from winning last season's Fantasy Football League, Rob decided to forgo any research and use his magic 8-ball to pick this season's team. If only Rob had NFL Mobile, he would have known that all signs point to yes was not an accurate ruling for the running back who would be out for the first four games. Luckily for Rob, there's always next year. Keep up with your favorite team with ongoing news alerts on NFL Mobile exclusively from Verizon. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile. Airtime message and data may apply. Don't call or text while driving.
Live from training camp in Bourbonnais, Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Tom Thayer's here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. And Mark Trestman wants a tougher football team, a more physical football team, a team with an edge. How do you go about accomplishing that via practice?
Well, I think, one, you make it game-like conditions. You challenge each other, challenge your teammates. You know, we know the practice schedule is a little bit different, but when there are times where you do live periods, say inside run or one-on-ones that Tom and those offensive and defensive linemen, because we know defensive linemen was a problem. Those players got to challenge each other. Hey, this isn't a union. Hey, just because you're loafing doesn't mean I have to. Challenge your teammate. Let's compete, bro. Let's get better every single play. But I think those periods where you get live, you got to have that tempo, that intensity, and make it the take advantage of those situations as much as you can, especially if you're the offense and defensive line.
You know, and you're a coach there. You know how to dial these guys up. If you got to get into the attitude of a guy like Jeremiah Ratliff to maybe give a little bit of extra after a play or something, nothing illegal, just to get the juices flowing. And Kyle Long is the type of guy that will get excited about the physical confrontations in there and go about it. Sometimes you tweak the player, but sometimes you tweak the drill. The one-on-ones and offensive and defensive linemen, at the end of each practice, they have a drill between linebackers and running backs, and it's a nice one-on-one battle. Add those physical periods to it, and you'll identify guys.
Now, is it common for ones to go against ones, starters against starters? Because in talking to Jay Cutler earlier today, he said when it comes to the backup quarterbacks, for example, you're not going to learn much about them until the preseason games because Cutler's going to be taking most of the reps out here in Bourbonnais on the practice field.
I think every coach is different. I've been more of ones against twos, ones against threes, but I kind of like the fact that Coach Trestman brings them ones against ones and has that decide the fate of some of these players.
Yeah, I've been with Bill Cowher in Pittsburgh. Remember Blitzberg with Greg Lloyd, Kevin Green? And we struggled in third down situations. So we started to do our third down periods against our number one defense. And Cowher would challenge, hey, guys, he'd throw out a competition. And it got, I don't want to say nasty, but the competition level, because the offense started to put it on the defense, it made everybody better. And then our offense just took off on third down in Pittsburgh. So it is done around the National Football League.
But the tough challenge is the delicate balance between, because you want to hit the regular season healthy and not lose guys when it doesn't count.
Hey, football's about toughness. If you got to come out here and encourage 60 guys to be tougher, then look, we need a new barrel of guys, because that's not the case. It's you expect these guys to have some innate ability to come out here every morning and turn it up a notch. And then you go back and you go back to your walkthroughs and your offs and your training and all that kind of stuff. But most of these guys, they got a little bit in their backbone already. There doesn't have to be a lot to be encouraged.
And they're coming off a rough year from a defensive standpoint. A lot of new personnel to help make it better. But again, the Bears gave up nearly 30 points a game last season on defense, tied with the Jaguars for the fewest sacks in the league, last in the league against the run. It's the worst Bears defense we've seen since 1920.
Right. So, obviously the talent's going to have to be better, but they're going to have to be able to look into the eyes of Jared Allen and say, okay, Jared, I'm giving my best. I want to look into the eyes of Lance Briggs and knows he respects me because I'm doing what's required of me. It's the same thing. Do you want to fail for Jay Cutler? Do you want to fail for Brandon Marshall? No. So that's always the challenge of toughness and pride.
Hey, guys, I want to thank you for helping me out throughout the entire offseason. Jim will be watching you during the preseason games. Tom will be listening to you throughout the season on Bears Radio. I'm Zach Zabin. Patrick Manley rejoins me next week for Bears All Access from Bourbonnais on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.